Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome again. This is Matt Halloran from Top Advisor Marketing. Kirk and I are broadcasting live from the SEI Top Producer Conference, and we thought that we would sit and give you guys a good idea on what we're hearing from advisors that have been stopping by our booth and finding out more about what Advisor Content X, Top Advisor Marketing, Tactic Brand, and Top Advisor Coaching is. So, Kirk, let's start on this list. We have a pretty robust list
Wait a second. I got to clarify something.
You got to clarify something.
You said booth, but they call them kiosks.
They do. They call them kiosks.
I actually love it. I don't know if you've ever been to a conference where they don't allow all this crazy marketing. Everybody looks the same. And just a TV, I actually really like it.
I like it, too, because I think it streamlines it and allows people to hit the booths a little bit faster. The only thing I don't like about it is we don't have chairs.
We don't have chairs. Matt likes to sit down.
Well, we've been standing for like 4 hours now.
I stand all day. I've been standing for 6 years in my office.
Okay, you haven't been standing for 6 years straight, dude.
I have. I never sit down in my office. I have a stand-up desk.
And that's why you are all svelte, and if you saw me, we'd know the difference. Okay, so what are we hearing from advisors here?
So I've got 9 things that I've highlighted that we've been hearing from advisors here at the SEI Top Advisor Conference. Where are we? We're in Chicago, right?
We're in Chicago.
My first time here.
The Swiss Hotel.
Lovely.
It's beautiful. Right
beautiful
by Navy
view
Pier.
From our room, the water. Mm-hmm. Yeah, great city. Thanks, Chicago. So the first one, some really interesting guys. The guys that we're talking to, the people, advisors, sorry, that we're talking to that I can tell are having the most success are the ones who have really clearly defined niche markets.
Right.
There's a couple of them doing really interesting things. I just talked to a guy a little bit a while ago, Brad. And he was, him and his brother actually work with advisors, business owners, and they do some strategic business planning with mm-hmm. them to get in the door. They said, and I think one of the things he mentioned was actually doing mind maps, so like org chart and strategy and stuff like that, which is, if you know me, I'm the mind map king. Yeah, I love mind maps. I think they're just brilliant way for humans to get ideas and then organize ideas. Anyhow. So that's one example, the trouble that they're having is trying to get more content out to these guys to segue from that consulting. They've obviously got a good business, but they'd like to be better at that and get more referrals. But really interesting niche, and they're really doing well with that. And we've heard from a couple other guys with some neat niches too.
Yeah,
and if I remember them, I'll bring them back later. So that's number one, the first idea. Second idea. A number of advisors we talk to are using canned content for newsletters, and not one of them think it's working.
Well, it's interesting. I was just talking to a gentleman a few minutes ago at the last break, and he said, you know, Matt, I'm paying $60 a month for this commentary and this kind of newsletter, and nobody opens it. So he runs it through MailChimp or Constant Contact, and he's looking at his open rate, and he's like, it's only $60 a month, but I feel like I'm just wasting all of my money.
Yeah, sometimes analytics, though, can really throw you off, to be honest. I mean, sometimes the value of something is the credibility you get from it or just being top of mind. So just it showing up in an inbox,
sure,
that's the main point of a newsletter. But the truth is, if anybody opens that up, mm-hmm. it's not you.
He said it was too salesy, too, and that was really interesting.
Wow,
and I was like, are you salesy? He's like, no, I'm like the antithesis of sales. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, your newsletter, your content that you put out there always has to be educational and value-oriented. You can never sell there. Selling takes care of itself. You got to trust that process, right?
Mm-hmm.
So definitely, you know, canned content is something that, and advisors are paying for it because they're just hoping and praying that this stuff's going to work.
Right.
And they're hoping and praying that the marketing guy that sold it to them knows what they're doing. But I think the only reason a newsletter really works is that top of mind awareness, especially if it's canned. But man, you can do a lot better than that.
Yep, I agree.
A lot better. I mean, we're doing some newsletters for advisors right now. But the newsletter is based on their most successful podcast that they did, right?
And it's a summary of it so that people can, you know, think back
really
and say,
quick.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And you can put a quick little personal note then that's kind of fun, show some personality. Then let them go experience your stuff. But it has to be your stuff, because if it's not, then who is it?
Right.
They know it's content.
Not your voice. Yeah, that's true.
Absolutely. So that's the second idea.
Oh, the expensive results. Yeah, we've been hearing this a lot. and how much money the cost for client acquisition and how much money. I think somebody had said yesterday, or you had given an example of somebody who had spent $40,000 or $50,000 on something, and their ROI was basically zero.
Yeah. Well, we had a guy today who was telling us that he's doing teaching classes, and he spent $6,500 for a mail out to teach classes. Now he's not allowed to sell in there, but if people want to talk to him after, they can. So your hands are tied behind your back right there, right? And he's spending $6,500 for the mail out. He did get two or three clients. I think he said he's done three or four of them, and he got one or two like decent ideal clients.
Okay.
But he's spending $6,500 pop. So my opinion, that's really expensive results. And the more, but the thing is advisors really, they're very analytical people. They're numbers guys. And I hear this all the time. And I think it's a big problem for advisors to kind of shift this mindset to move towards momentum marketing and away from results marketing. Because results marketing doesn't necessarily mean it's good results.
It
can be really expensive. So if you, so advisors seem to be really attracted to the company that can come and say, look, we're going to do a seminar for you. It's going to cost you $10K. You're going to have to live with that. But we're going to get 50 people in there. You're going to get 10 meetings. And if you can turn three to five of those into clients.
Yeah.
Even if advisors say, you know, at the end of the day, I broke even on that. They think that's good. That is really expensive marketing. But
that's
if you
right.
put 10 grand into doing a podcast over the course of a year, you're not going to have the first month. You're not going to have, now it would be $1,000 a month if you're using our podcast service, just as an example. And we're not selling on the show though. So that, you, each one of those podcasts creates value over time.
Right.
That's a much better way to approach marketing than blowing $10,000. Yes, you got something out of it. You got a result, and that's and that little carrot is keeping you coming back. That's really expensive. So when you think about marketing, try to think about how you can be efficient and how the marketing that you create can last.
Well, it's cumulative, right? That's why we like the podcast thing. So when somebody sees that you've done 20, 30, 40 podcasts, you have serious street cred and you show a commitment to putting out your thought leadership. And I think that that's really, really important. It's interesting that you bring up the educational thing, because I have a couple of guys who've done very, very well with that program, but their niche or how they want to portray themselves is educational. Right, they want to educate the public, and so that's how they get the lead in. But they are not getting their ideal clients because they basically have to take anybody who walks in the door and spends the money.
I'm going to flip this upside down and show you how. So the educational part of this is incredible. The fact that this guy can go out there and do his thing, he's going to get better at his craft. He's going to keep presenting. He's going to learn what people respond to, what they don't. He's going to get really better. The problem is he spent $6,500 every time to do that.
Right.
What if you did a whiteboard video in your office? Get an iPad. So get a tripod. Get your iPad there. Set it up. Get some cheap lighting, like $100 each light. Okay, some softeners on it in your office. Do a whiteboard video. Okay, do the white same things you're doing in that class. Do a whiteboard video. Put that on your website or your blog post. And then that thing is there forever.
Forever.
And then start telling your friends, hey, I did a video on five estate planning mistakes. Guess what? That's there forever.
You know, you
and that didn't cost $6,500.
Right. And Kirk actually practices what he preaches here, everybody. If you go to kirklow.com, you're going to see the videos that he does. And he actually does them on the whiteboards. And the best part about it is it's evergreen material. Right. So that means it's not timely, not like you're not being reactive to a situation. And it and again, can get legs. The best part about that is nobody can share when they're in that educational event. Right.
Oh, man, but you're hitting it. You're on a roll today. Buddy.
Hey, that's the kicker. Right. We can share. Right. We do that all the time. And in fact, I was showing an advisor the impact of what we do with Advisor Content X because we just did it on ourselves this morning. Well, we woke up this morning, our last podcast, podcast 16. So we're on 17 right now, right? 17 or 18.
No, this one is 21 or 22.
Oh, really? Okay, so it was podcast 16.
We're so well organized.
Yeah, it's whatever.
We just love sharing stuff.
Yeah, we're just going to keep doing this. But anyway, podcast 16, when we woke up this morning, had 190 downloads, right? That was what it was, right?
Yep.
And we're almost at 500. And this has been for 4 hours. So we practice what we preach with the Advisor Content X. We want you to understand that this stuff works because we walk the walk and talk the talk. Kirk is giving away stuff all the time, everybody. If you have not been to kirklow.com or tactobrand.com, Financial Marketing University, all of these different places that he's put out thought leadership, then you're really missing the point because you need to be doing the same thing to your practice. Now, Here's the next two, I think, are kind of together here. So why don't you break down the next two?
Yeah. So what we hear a lot, and I, not just here at the SEI conference, but all the time, is just advisors don't have any time. Mm-hmm. And when you walk up and down this hall where all the vendors are hanging out, mm-hmm. It starts to overwhelm you. And advisors have so many things to address in their business. You guys, I mean, I admire you a lot because there's a lot of things you're juggling, right? Mm-hmm. And the crazy thing is when you finally think you've got it figured out, then a new piece of software. Yep. The guys you were working with aren't you know making it happen anymore. Mm-hmm. Somebody else beat them to the race,
right?
So you know, like we got a company behind us. I'm going to give a shout out to EverPlans. Matt, absolutely.
I'm a huge fan of EverPlans. Yeah, they're fantastic.
And, you know, there's other guys here, and, you know, but EverPlans is just making a big statement. So mm-hmm. if you've already figured this stuff out, maybe you're moving to EverPlans now when you come to the show. So there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of change. What this means is that you've got to serve your clients, obviously. You got to keep your professional stuff in place. You got to, you know, adhere to all the compliance stuff and mm-hmm. Take all your CE credits. So there's a lot of things going on. So there's no marketing. Where does marketing fit in?
Right.
It's probably something you're least familiar with too. So you're less likely to do it mm-hmm. or be good at it. The other thing is when you're too busy working in your business, it's really hard to work on your business.
Right.
And marketing a lot of time is working on your business. Right. When you're creating podcasts, it's challenging to add more value to what you talk about, what you share with people, to really look deep inside at your value, how you express it. There's a great value, but that's really working on your business. Mm-hmm. Marketing's the same thing. So no time, and they're too busy working in the business to work on the business. You got to find time to do that.
Absolutely. When they're not putting any money aside either. You know, most other industries, they're spending 10 to 25% of their overall revenue on marketing. Most advisors are doing less than 5%. Less than 5% on marketing. So a $1 million producer making $1 million a year is not even spending $50,000.
Didn't John Anderson on his SEI blog write about that the other day?
He did.
I thought we were reading it.
We should probably put a link to that because that was a really good blog on basically what marketing is and how you should be looking at it.
Yeah, we're going to do a podcast, aren't we?
Well, I hope we're going to do a podcast with him, but he's really busy at the conference, so we'll have to see.
John Anderson's fabulous, by the way. You can follow him on his SEI blog.
It's a good blog.
Just put in John Anderson SEI blog. Yeah, follow him on social. He's sharing great stuff all the time.
All right, so let's move to Mick. Because this was a big thing. So Kirk presented yesterday. We did a pre-conference and filled the room, which was quite nice, which is always good for a pre-conference. And we're sitting here at our kiosk today. But Kirk talked about MIC. So why don't you tell everybody what that stands for, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, so MIC is an acronym for My Ideal Client. So MIC is the guy who hasn't referred you in 3 years. That's kind of the story I tell. If you've never heard me tell it before. And MIC doesn't refer you for a couple reasons. One is he doesn't know how. He or she doesn't know how. In this case, it's a he.
Yes, it is a he. Your picture is a he.
Sorry about the bias there.
That's all right.
Doesn't know how. Doesn't know where to refer either.
Or why.
Mm-hmm. Right? So there's a lot of problems there. So when you can inspire your clients or your centers of influence through your marketing, your story, your proof of expertise. We talk about proof of expertise all the time, right?
That's right.
Proof of expertise is paper, podcast, blog, mm-hmm. you know, videos, things that you do that say, hey, I know my stuff and I know you as my core audience, mm-hmm. right? So when you can inspire people, you put that story, that content, and you get exposure through your close network, right? Your social network, that people who already know you, who are referred to friends or by professionals. When you can do that, that's the way to grow.
Yeah.
That's how you start creating referrals from within your circle of influence, your network, your sphere, and mm-hmm. that's where the best kind of growth in your practice is. But advisors are so tempted by finding leads outside of that network. Mm-hmm. What about the people I don't know? There's way more of those people. No. If you stick with what you really know, you can build an incredible business.
That's right.
Just from working from what you already have. Now, you have to have enough ideal clients to do it. If you've got, you know, less than, you know, like 5 ideal clients and the, you know, and then you got 95 non-ideals, that's a much harder base to grow from. So I like to say you got to have like maybe 30 at least. Mm-hmm. But if you can grow, you know, at least 30 ideal clients, you should be able to get at maybe 2 to 5 of those a year.
And sure.
You can do, I think for a lot of businesses, they'd be pretty excited about that.
Absolutely. Five new ideal clients every year. I mean, that's That's sustainable growth. Yeah. It's growth that you can handle.
We had, I don't know if I've told the story before, but the guys in Virginia that we work with went from 5 referrals to 21.
Yeah.
We didn't even do a podcast. In fact, I don't even think they did a blog, but what they did is we created 4 white papers. Mm-hmm. They're really great at sending out to their people, and sure, they do share a little bit on social, but they're really nervous about growing too fast, and they were right.
Yeah, because they're already growing fast.
5 to 21 referrals and ideal referrals. But they have a really clear niche.
Yep.
And they have a really good in with them. And then when they created this brand that inspired, people mm-hmm. are going to their website. We did some really cute things on their website that really spoke to their audience and made a huge difference for them.
Well, and one of the things I like that we keep bringing up the niche, and I'm going to do a shout out to Everplans again, because Everplans allows you to have a niche, right? Because the software facilitates a different conversation. Same thing with Riskalyze. Riskalyze is another great marketing tool. And by the way, they're both going to be on our podcast, Top Advisor Marketing Podcast here, hopefully within the next couple weeks. But it really does allow you to take a look at who your ideal client is. If you want to be that multi-generational advisor, you really need to go ahead and you need to use Everplans. If you're a tactical advisor and you get a lot of stuff from your clients about performance, then what you need to do is you need to use Riskalyze, because it changes the conversation surrounding risk. That is a great way to initiate something new when it comes to marketing and bring in some new blood. So my ideal client is something that we're hearing a lot about, but this next one is something that is probably going to resonate with most of you, which is I hate writing and I buy content, but nobody cares.
Yeah, so many advisors, when we talk to them about how important it is to do content, they really struggle with it. And because they know that somebody like me is going to say, hey, you need to start producing blog posts and stuff like that all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's a big problem for them. So you have to either figure out how to get past that fear or that dislike for... We got to stop for a photo op here. Just a second.
We're smiling.
Yeah, we're smiling. Photo op.
This is the great thing about being at conferences. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Well, we gotta get on here because it's going to get real noisy in a second.
We've only got a few minutes, so...
Yeah. So... So writing, you got to figure your way out of it. I'd say use a mind map, use Trint, mm-hmm. do a mind map, and then actually just talk through, do it like an audio recording, and then send it to Trint.com to get your transcript. That's one way to write a blog post.
There's another great tool that I haven't brought up. It's a book called If You Can Talk, You Can Write.
Very cool.
Yeah.
There you go. Oh. So hate writing. So here's the last one.
I'm so glad you wrote this way. Kirk, write down, we keep getting crappy referrals. We know we should be doing better because we're exceptional advisors. So what does that mean?
Here's the thing about exceptional advisors. You guys keep it a secret. You have to create expert content so you can figure this out. If you don't share how amazing you are, and it's not just your ideas, but tangible stuff that you do in your practice. Like how your written plan is better than others. Like if you're really great, there'll be stuff in your practice that you do better that other guys just don't want to spend the time doing. But you got to share it with people. If you don't do it, nobody's going to know how exceptional you are. You can't think that people are going to refer and that person's going to get into a relationship with you. And then they'll be saying, oh, that's why they referred me. Now I get it. It doesn't work like that. Your marketing, they have to get your marketing before they probably ever even call you, before your client ever even told you that they referred that person, because there's probably a lot of people that are doing that you don't know. So that's our last one.
That is our last one. And so this was our first really live podcast that we did from a conference that Kirk and I both attended together in Chicago, the SEI Top Producer Conference. And thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic.